Okay. I'm done from here. Okay, sorry for the inconvenience. All right. So, can you all hear me very well? All right. So the message today is, okay, is that you must be a soul winner because there is only one way to get to heaven. You must be a soul winner because there is only one way to get to heaven or to dwell in the Father's presence. Hallelujah. Now pay attention because you're about to be delivered from lies. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs 14, verse 12. It says that, maybe you can give it to me on the screen. There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Are you able to bring the scriptures on the screen at all? Okay, now, again, let me just say one more time. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. As a matter of fact, there's another scripture which says that every way of a man is right in his own eyes. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. But the Lord, he weighs or he tries or he examines the intentions or the motives. He weighs it and finds that every man is wanting. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, pay attention, please. You think about it. Let's elaborate about this scripture a little bit. It says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Imagine how your two-year-old cannot understand how you don't endorse any of his actions. You know, your two-year-old cannot understand why anything, stop, anything, this, don't do this. Like, he's wondering. So what gets approval? Nothing. It's like everything, stop, this. Don't, he wants this. He can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, would you endorse the behavior of your two-year-old child?
No.
No. Why? Because see, the Bible even says that there is foolishness.
Mm-hmm.
Attached to the heart of a child, true or false?
True.
And it takes what? A rod of correction,
mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
So every child, it's not because of where the child was born, it's not because of who gave birth to the child, it's not because of anything, it's just foolishness is attached to the heart of a child. Now the Bible is saying that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death. That is why God also does not endorse the ways of a man, any man, whoever it is. God does not endorse. God does not put his stamp of approval on the ways of any man. Why? So, Pastor, are you going to say that there is foolishness attached to our heart? I wouldn't say that. I don't think we are children. I mean, as in two-year-olds and three-year-olds, but there is a corruption. There's a corruption that is deep-seated within our psyche that makes any one of our ways so despicable, so ugly, but unfortunately we can't see it. Why? Because with this, like a two-year-old who thinks that his demand for this must be approved and must be granted, we also, you know, we think that our ways and what we want must be approved by God. And it's amazing even in the midst of all the frustrations, we still choose our way. It's just like, would they ever learn? You know, in the Old Testament, you will find that a king does something, and we all read and see the consequences of the king's behavior, and you'll be amazed to find out that the son does the same thing, and you wonder, did he not learn?
Foolishness attached to the heart.
I tell you, it's like, did this son not learn?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason is because it's a nature issue. It's not a mind issue. It's a nature issue. Are you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's so important that you get it, that the issue, the thing that is wrong with you and with me, is a nature issue. No, let me say, the thing that was wrong with you and with all humanity, regardless of anything man has been able to come up with. Can you imagine that a person who devises a tool that is so beneficial to man, or let's say a person who's able to perform a surgery on you so that you who are dying, you are not able to live again. Let's say a heart surgery, whatever surgery it is. Can you imagine that this same person who performed the procedure can also kill his wife?
Mm.
Are you with me? I mean, it's not a fable. There are doctors who have arranged, they have hired hitmen to eliminate their wives because they are torment. But it's a doctor. Everything he does is to give life, true or false?
True.
So why does he choose now to eliminate his wife?
What are you fine? Connected to you. He looks like I'm busy.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, there are many that are yet to receive the Father's love in the person of Jesus Christ, his son. Because they don't know that he is the only way. And he is the light. I don't know it. Okay, can you all hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So the reason why, that is why I was sharing with you last week, and I believe the previous week as well, that the only way a person will take a medicine is when he finds out that my life depends on this medicine. See, that is why we all know the benefits of vitamins. But how many people, I mean, religiously take vitamins? It's like, look, I won't die. If I don't take it, I won't die. So what's the big deal? I mean, I'm tired. All these big pills and please, Charlie, I'm tired. So people buy vitamins, they expire, true or false?
True.
How do we can relate to it? I've bought vitamins for my wife. They keep expiring. And unfortunately, I don't know why. I also don't stop buying them. I tell you. But there is no creature in there is no creature that has the capacity to reject love. That is impossible. There is no creature made by God that has the capacity to reject love, except the devil. He's the only one, and demons. They're the only one who cannot receive love. But every human being, no matter the wickedness and the corruption, whatever is inside the person, that person will gladly receive love. The problem is that they don't know that God, Jesus Christ, he is love. They don't know it. Are you with me?
Yes.
They don't know that their life depends on it. Now, there is another problem. I just spoke about those who are yet to receive him. But there is also another problem, which is many who have received him but continue to live their lives unto themselves. Meaning that they choose ways that seem right unto them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So there are two categories. One, they have not received him because what is this thing? Is he going to put food on my table? Is he going to do this? It doesn't add up. It doesn't make sense. So please, I can do without him. After all, I've struggled all my life to help myself. I didn't have any father. I worked my way out. Everything, school, whatever, everything. I worked. I sold things to earn money, paid my tuition, did everything. And now I am this professional. Look, you can't tell me that I need somebody or I need something. That's why, you know, you guys are helpless. You don't have a brain. That is why you can't be real. Deception. And then there is those, you know, the group that have received him, but continue to live their lives unto themselves. So they choose ways that seem right unto themselves. It's a problem. It's a problem. Because the issue, because it was your nature, because it had to do with your nature, God made a provision or a remedy. He brought a remedy, not by adding the life to your life, which is death. See, your life and my life, our life, the life of humanity, is the path of death, a sentence of death. So that even when you are given something that is good, it is now also being used to bring death. That is why every invention has become a deadly weapon. Think about phone. 14, 15-year-olds are committing suicide because of the test that they receive, Because of the social media where they watch, they commit suicide. But you and I know that phone is supposed to be a very essential, a very lovely, wonderful tool of communication where you can access your loved ones wherever they are. True or false?
True.
Think about Facebook. It's supposed to link up. But it's also the cause of divorce, because you touch base with an old flame. You know what I'm talking about? How many know what an old flame is? Give me a wave. Hey! Hi, baby. It's an old flame. Cars. It's supposed to be a blessing. Somebody took his car and ran through a crowd. Listen to me, everything, that is how it is. And the issue is because of our nature. Why? For us in Adam, all die. Us in Adam, all die, meaning all come under the sentence of death. So we are not allowed to partake of the life that is of the Father. We are not, we have been cut off. So all our deductions, all our desires, they bring death. You marry with the intention of living happily ever after. I'm sorry. Death is tearing your face. The abundance of frustrations will cause you to, you begin to question in a few months. If it wasn't a mistake, how many of you have been there before? Honestly, please. Yeah. I mean, look, you are in it. So it means that you have learned that it's still better to be inside. That's why you're still inside. But it's okay to you before, right?
Yeah,
it's a very common thing. But for most kids, the reason why we stay in because the consequences are just too dire. But if the consequences were not dire, you would have left. Anyway, so it says that for us in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Meaning that all will now become partakers of life. Life as God purposed. But you see, it's either you are in Adam or you are in Christ. There was nothing that God could give humanity as long as we were in Adam. So look at all that he did. What did he not do for his people when they were leaving Egypt? You have need of sun. Sun is provided. You have need of shelter. Provision is made. You have need of food, whatever. You have come to the end of the road. Sea is before you. Say, don't worry, I'll make a way for you. You go through it, you enter the land, 3 days, no water, nobody became dehydrated. 40 years, nobody could grow bigger than the clothes which they sold before they embarked upon the journey. Is that not a miracle? You couldn't grow bigger, you couldn't grow smaller. Hey. I mean, what is this? Your shoes. You're supposed to change your shoe, I don't know how often, so many times, within 2 years. But miraculously, it's like a preservation, a divine preservation. But still, they kept murmuring, they kept complaining. You have brought us here to kill us. Who is this God who will take you through a Red Sea only to come and destroy you? I mean, you wonder. He didn't kill you in the Red Sea, but he killed all your enemies. And it's still not enough to tell you that this God means something. And whatever he means is good for us, because why is he doing all these things for us? But still, are you with me so far?
Yes.
Yeah. So when God sent his son, he had to become everything that man was. So he also had to come and be sown in corruption. Let me tell you something. If you find out that the guy who you contracted to, let's say, fix what is in your house that is very, let's say your roof, that it was supposed to cost you only, let's say, $9,000, and the guy charged you $25,000. Now, how many of you, when you find out by maybe talking to about three other vendors, you find out that this guy is overcharging me for whatever, even if you use the most expensive materials, it will not go beyond 10,000. How many of you would ever want to do business, or would ever want to contract, or whatever, can even trust this guy for a moment? How many of you do that?
No. Nobody.
What do you call such a person? Corrupt. Mm-hmm. Is that true?
Wicked.
Wicked and corrupt. Very good. So the Bible said that when Jesus came, he also had to be sown in corruption. So what? So why did he have to be sown in corruption? Because you and I were full of corruption. See, this is the reason why somebody does this. The consequences are revealed to him, and the person does the same thing. Why? You say, did they not learn? No, it's a nature issue. So Jesus also had to be sown in corruption. He had to be sown in the dishonor that was associated with humanity. He had to be sown in weakness. Weakness where you say, I'm going to marry you till death do us part. Oh, no. You will live before till death do us part. Are you with me?
Yes.
It's called weakness. It's called corruption. It's called dishonor. He had to become us in every sense of the word. And God had to end us and replace us with his son so that now we live as sons. We live as sons. Now, let me tell you something. Ask yourself, why is that those who have received him continue to live unto themselves, so much so that the divorce rate in the church is the same as in the world? How many of you have dealt with a very corrupt person who calls himself a Christian before? How many of you have been duped by somebody who calls himself a Christian? Wow. Looks like everybody. Hey. Abby, you too. Wow. 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 Now, this is not about to end until something happens. I'm going to tell you that thing. And once you get it, your relationship will change dramatically. How you relate. Oh my goodness. It will change. And it must change. You see. Do you remember that when the prodigal son came back to the father, asking to just be taken as or received as a servant so that he can at least work and earn a decent living. Mm-hmm. Did you realize that the father could have just told the son, say, son, listen, just as you left, now that you have come back, everything is restored. So let's continue as it was, or let's continue as usual. Do you know that the father could have just told the son that?
Mm-hmm.
And it should have been enough. But why didn't he do that? Why didn't he do that? Why did he not just tell him that, son, all I required was for you to come back. And now that you have come back, listen, it is as if you never went away. He didn't even bother to tell him that. Why? Why? Now listen to this carefully, because it is not enough for your father and my father and our Lord and our master to know and to have great intentions for us. It's not enough. I said it is not enough. It is not enough for him to even just say it, because he couldn't even get it. So he had to do. He had to do. The father himself had to do. So he had to prove to the son, so that the son will come to the place where there is no doubt. Wow. Why? So that when any thought occurs to the son, he looks at the proof of what the father did and say, how dare you? How dare you refer me to my past? How dare you? How dare you refer me to any error I have made? How dare you? Are you guys hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
Listen. So what did he do? He had to prove beyond any doubt and demonstrate the reality, the truth to his son by throwing a party. Everyone should be made aware. Everyone in that vicinity, in that realm, in that kingdom, must now be made aware that the son's place has been restored. Don't you dare make or pass a comment or think. I don't know if you guys are seeing, I hear what I'm hearing.
Mm.
Nobody in that kingdom, in that realm, was allowed the privilege of even thinking that something is even wrong with the son. No. Now, hear me, please. So he threw the party. He put upon him the clothes of righteousness. It's the father who was doing it. The signet ring of authority. And the sandals on the feet. It is a very strong mark that separates him from servants. Sandals upon your feet. Oh, you are nothing like a servant. Ring upon your hand. You are nothing like a servant. I want to tell you something here. Pay attention. Likewise, everything that Jesus suffered and endured was not only God the Father saying, I love you. No, it was God the Father doing. I love you.
Mm.
It was God the Father demonstrating to each and every one of us the extent to which he would go to redeem us and make everything right. He said, son, I need you to always break bread. I need you to always drink wine. And anytime you break the bread, anytime you drink that wine, remember me not only telling you I love you, but doing. I love you. How many of you ladies would really, 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 really prefer when a man who says he loves you also does? I love you. And not just say it. How many of you like it? How many of you love it? Yeah. So much so that if you have to choose between three guys, one is always testing you. He's always on his phone testing you. Baby, honey, I love you. Oh, honey, you are the apple and whatever. And there is another guy who is not into testing. He organizes and sends a bouquet. Then he asks the red dresses. Then he asks. He organizes a company to send you a car. And then in the morning, he comes. I just want to say good morning. And I want to say, I want you to hear from me directly that I'm thinking about you. And then he goes away. Say, I really, really want you to know that I love you. But, you know, I have to go to work. So please, bye-bye. You'll hear from me again. And then next week, he comes. He brings a package from, where are the restaurants? Olive Gardens or what are the expensive restaurants?
Andiamus.
Andiamus. Okay. Okay. Yeah. If you were in Ghana, you'd be talking about chopsticks and stuff like that, right? Can you imagine? I don't know. There are now far better restaurants because I've been away for too long. I've forgotten. But this guy, he's showering you, demonstrating you. He hears your past. He hears about your past. Somebody goes and tells him that, do you know this girl? She used to go out with this guy. I know five people who have been involved with her. You say, sir, I know that already. I'm fully aware. Thank you for the information. But I do love her. And please don't remind me ever again of her past. Wow!
Mm-hmm.
Keep showing. He hears that you are in trouble. Then he sends his right-hand man, bail you out of the issue. Wow. So now, this guy does not send you text to. He's doing, I love you. He's just doing, I love you. How many of you, ladies, when it's time for the marriage and you have an option to choose between this guy and the three other guys who are always texting and sending you emails and sending you WhatsApp and all that, how many of you will choose the one who is always bailing you out and showering you with gifts and pleasantries? How many of you will choose the man who is doing I love you? Wow, I'm not seeing hands. I see only one hand. Wow. He says, hey, listen to me. The man knows about you. He knows your past. He knows your mistakes. He knows the terrible thing that you have done, which disqualifies you from ever being his choice. He knows it. He has been told. He has done his background. And he says, still, I love him. Wow. How many of you will just it's like I'm living in heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, this is what the Father did, but it was not enough. I said it was not enough. So, Pastor, what does he do? else did he do? He said, just so that this nature of yours, which will keep violating my ways, which will keep rejecting my ways, just to make sure that it never gears its ugly head up again, ever in your life, I'm going to end you. And in the resurrection, he raised you up, a new creature, so that there can never ever be a reference to your past. There can never ever be a reference to your past. Now, if there is never ever a reference to your past, what is there for you to fix?
Nothing.
Exactly. Now, he says, it's still not enough. Listen though. He says, it's still not enough. My blood. Listen though. My blood is going to be placed directly in front of me. It will be in my face. The blood of my son is going to forever be in my face, in my very presence, upon the mercy seat, upon my mercy seat, so that I am not able to go beyond the blood to see any errors, any violations, any acts of sins you may commit, even after I have done all these things. Why? He says, remember, how many of you remember Jesus washing the feet of the disciples? How many of you remember? How many of you remember what Peter said? He said, no, I will not let you wash my feet. And then Jesus explained to him and enforced it. And he said, okay, then if you're going to wash my feet, then wash my whole body as well. What was his response? What did Jesus say? You are clean except
your feet.
You are clean except your
feet.
Very good. Why? 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 Because
you walk.
I'm bringing forth a treasure. The treasure is contained in a vessel. In this vessel, because you are still dealing with elements that are trash, elements and powers and entities that are always working against you, you will still err. That is why your feet needs to be washed. That's exactly the reason why the blood of Jesus upon the mercy seat keeps washing you, and wash you, and not only were your sins forgiven, but the sin that you may even commit because of your interaction, your walking, your dwelling in this vessel that did not get born again. Because of that, the blood upon the mercy seat keeps washing. That is why when you confess your sin, when you acknowledge that, I descended to the lower part of my body and I followed a deception. The moment you acknowledge it, the Bible says that he is faithful. He is what?
Faithful.
If you confess your sin, what does the scripture say?
He is faithful.
He is faithful and just. What is he faithful to? He is faithful to the covenant of blood that the Father made with the Son and put you into it as the beneficiary. He is faithful to that covenant. But why is he just? Why is he just? Because just like your son, your 8-year-old son who enters into an altercation, whatever it is, an issue. See the way you come and you take his stand and try to defend him against, let's say, a bully. Justice requires, because your son is standing and contending with a bully, justice requires that you don't even come to find out what he did. You defend him against the bully. True or false?
True.
The bully is the devil who is using deception, trickery. He's using his demons. He's using, unfortunately, other people to destroy the treasure which he has, the Father has brought forth. So justice requires that he steps in, redeems you, and makes all things right. So it says, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Oh my goodness. How many of you can see the love?
Yes.
How many of you can see that this love, it makes him so and too good. Like the lady sang. What's that lady? Your love is what? I've forgotten that song. That Nigerian woman.
Oh, Victoria.
Jesus, you love me too much. Oh, that was what she was talking about. Jesus, mm-hmm. You love me too much. Oh, it's like the woman, the lady who was so terrible in her actions, her life, and everything, has meddled with all kinds of evils and all that. But still, a man comes and chooses her. Mm-hmm. He said, "My, say your love is too good." Mm-hmm. Why? I know there's no qualification. I know I don't deserve it, but still. And you were not so deceived because you knew it. In fact, all the people around me came and told you, I know. Are you with me?
Yes.
Now, what am I saying? What am I sharing with you today? Please pay attention. Please pay attention because because until we know, and we know, and we know, and we are, and we come to know that we are fully accepted and acceptable in his sight, we will keep trying to do stuff to qualify ourselves for his benefits. Are you with me? You see, let me give you a scripture. And please, you see, I didn't want to just talk to you about becoming a soul winner as in just getting an unbeliever to come on board. But you a believer, what ought to be your life and your living and your conversation, what ought it to be? Because if you don't get it right, you will find out that even when you get people into the faith, they will back out of it again. Why? They'll become just like you. Just like you. You fight just like they fight. You are offended just like they are offended. You speak like just like they speak. So when they come in, they find out, this thing, I mean, what are the benefits? I mean, what is it? All these promises, are they real? Are you with me?
Yes.
That is why many come in and they go out. Why? Why? Because those who have received them don't even know what they received and don't know that they stand before their Father, a complete group of people, a generation. Jesus said, who shall declare my generation? Who shall declare them? Who shall present them just the way I see them? Who? And so when we become born again, we go about trying. So what we do is, not knowing that really all things are becoming new, we go back to the old nature and we use Bible activities. We use what?
Bible activities.
It's like, come to church, join the choir, join a prayer meeting, pay your tithe, do this, and God will bless you. Look, it's not like that. It's not like that. I said, it's not like that. It's not like that and shall not be like that and cannot be like that. Because everything that you do after you become born again is a fruit of what you already have become. It's not a root. Say with me. Every righteous act of mine,
every act of mine
is a fruit of what Jesus has done.
Of what Jesus has done.
It is not a root.
It is not a root.
To receive blessings from my Father.
To receive blessings from my Father.
Did you get the difference?
Yeah.
If you do something that you don't bless, you are still living the life of Adam. You'll be frustrated. You are cursed. Listen. That life is rejected. That is why the son, when he became a man, he had to be rejected, because that life is rejected. That life is wounded. That is why he had to be wounded. That life is bruised. That is why he was bruised. That life is cursed. That's why he was cursed. It is only in the life that he raised. That is where you stop being you and embracing him. For you are dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is allowed to come forth, is unveiled, is released. So how do you speak? Oh, you don't speak your opinions. Why? They don't matter. It's no longer you who is living. Can you be offended? Oh, no. Can you say whatever is in your mind? How dare you? Because the devils are waiting. If they find out, they know. They listen to me. Devils and demons, they know. Anything that you say that is coming from the Christ, and anything that you say that is coming from you. That is why when that guy began to speak without those guys, when they began to speak without knowing the Christ, the devils and demons say, listen. Those two people that you mentioned their names, you know them. And we know where they come from. And we know their life, where they live from. They live from the Christ. But you, we know you.
Mm-hmm.
You live from us. You have the life of Adam. They beat them up. Are you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
But the son, listen, he is everything that God purposed for you to be. He is the delight of the Father. He is the will of the Father. The Son is the will of the Father. Do you know something? Do you know that all the promises of God, every promise of God, they are only yes in him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they are yes only in him, why do you want to live in you? Why do you ever want to ever live in you? Why do you want to exalt your opinion? Why do you want to even let it out of you? You are speaking, and you are speaking out of what you feel and you think. Wow. So listen to me. Use this as a guidance. If you are living a life of frustration, just know that you have disregarded the life that is in you. And you are living the life which he ended. That life is full of frustration. So if any of the curses in Deuteronomy 28, if you see it in your life, just let it communicate to you that, can I keep on living my life? And for these curses, for this frustration to abound, or I am repenting now. To repent is not just to feel sorry or to walk down the aisle and say, I received Christ and I'm sorry for what I've done. No, that's repentance. It's just a symbol. It's just a symbol of something. But repentance is to give up on you all your unrighteousness as well as all your so-called righteousness. Give up. Let him that glory, let him glory in who?
In Christ.
So when you see somebody who is not glorying in Christ, who is living his life, just know the cause of it. Just know the reason why. You give a right diagnosis. And the diagnosis is that, he needs Christ or she needs Christ. The result is that you will not be pissed off by his or her behavior. Otherwise, you will be. And you cannot overlook that people's faults. You cannot forgive other people. You can't. You won't. Until you identify. I mean, it's like a madman who's insulting you. Again, you will not respond because you know that he's a madman. But if your boss insults you, what's your reaction?
Be mad.
It's like you are my boss because you're supposed to know better, right?
Yeah.
So if this is your behavior, get ready to receive. So what do? You sharpen your tongue and you begin to release upon him or her. What do? You show him that you too, you were born by a mama. By the way, the reason why you do that is because you have not identified the source properly. You have not made the right diagnosis that this guy or this girl is actually mad. He's a boss, yes, but he's mad. He's a boss, but he is really sick. He is ruled by his flesh. He is ruled by sin. He is ruled by devils and demons. As a matter of fact, devils and demons have failed his heart or her heart to the brim. And nobody can help him until he meets the Christ whom you've already met. So what do? You pray.
Pray for him.
What do? You pray for the Holy Spirit's intervention. You find out that your reaction that would have released the you, found that now it's nowhere. Why? You've identified it. Yeah. Now listen. The Bible says in Acts 4 verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is none other name. There is none other personality. You see, whenever you mention a name, a person comes to mind. So when you say, come in the name of Jesus, it means that come in the person of Jesus. So you speak on the basis of what he paid for. You see, it's not so much as who you are in him as it is who he is in you. By virtue of who he is in you, nobody can charge you. Nobody can say that you must suffer these consequences because of your actions. Say, no. How dare you? How dare you charge me and you tie me to my faults? What is actually Christ who lives in me, who is my life? He said, then why did you do that? Because for that moment, I descended. I took my attention, my gaze, my focus from the life. And I brought it to dwell on the lie. And he is not judging me according to that lie. He's judging me according to what is called truth or reality. That is why when the boy came back, there was no reference to what he went to do. Oh, can you hear it?
Yes.
When the prodigal son came back, there was no reference. In fact, if it wasn't for the older boy, who of course didn't have the father's heart. You know, that's why many Christians also don't have the father's heart. That is why we engage. The person throws the blow, you engage. Because not all Christians have the father's heart. So what if he was the one who made reference, who, if it wasn't what he said, we wouldn't have even known that the rioters living included prostitutes and all that. Because all the Bible said that he spent his living on rioters living. There was no other description. But the one he came back, the son, the one who said, who brought in the details.
Yeah, broke everything down.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. But not the father. Not the father. Why? As far as the father is concerned, you and me, nobody has right to revisit our past.
Wow.
Now, why is this so important? I'll give you a scripture because, you know, it occurred to me that I must mention this scripture. Jeremiah, please give me Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:31-33. Look at the scripture. Look at the scripture. Because you see, it is so important. It is so important that we don't only focus on trying to go to heaven. Listen to me. Listen to me. Please remind me that I mentioned heaven so that I can, because I must explain to you in 5 minutes what it is. But look at this scripture. Behold, the days come, or they are coming, saith the who?
The Lord.
That I will make a new what?
Covenant.
A new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Go on. So God is saying that I am going to make a new covenant. It is not, it is not according to the covenant that I made with your fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. What covenant was that? The covenant of the law of sin and death, where if you do this, these are the repercussions. If you do those things that I said you must do, these are the blessings. It's called the law of sin and death. But look at what happened. Look at what happened. It says, which my covenant they broke. Why? By virtue of their nature. Remember I explained that to you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You remember? By virtue of their nature, they broke my covenant. And God knew that they would break it. He knew it. But he gave it to them so that they will see that, oh, the issue is a nature issue. It's not how bad I want, how much I want God to bless me. No. By virtue of your nature, you will violate the things that God desires, and you will invoke the curses upon your life. Once you come to the knowledge that it's a nature issue, you say, listen, I need help. This help is not something that you can just come and do and go. It's like, I need help, so come and fix it and go away. No. You have to replace me, because the issue is my nature. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So you take your fingerprints from everything. You remove, listen to me. This is what Adam and Eve brought us all into. That's why God drove them out of the garden, because there was nothing he could do with them except wait for the fullness of time to bring the replacement. So in Adam, all died. In Christ, all shall be made alive. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So he says, which my covenant they broke, although I was an husband to them. I was an husband unto them. Every provision I met, everything I met. Why did they still break the covenant? Nature issue. So what's he going to do? Next verse. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, said the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Essentially, he's saying, I am bringing forth a new covenant. And in this new covenant, I will put my laws, not the law that I gave to man through Moses, not the law that I gave to man through a mediator. I didn't even deal with them directly. I made angels send that law through a man called Moses. But this new law which I'm bringing forth is my son himself. Is God himself coming. I'm making a face-to-face deal with humanity. Don't worry. Let's go on. Verse 34. And listen, this is where I want us to come to. This is the main reason we came here.
Mm-hmm.
And they shall teach no more. Oh my. One moment. He says, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. They shall teach no more every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. Why? For they shall all know me from the least of them unto the greatest of them. Say the Lord, say, Lord, what are you going to do that will make the least become so knowledgeable of you as much as the greatest mean that there is no respect for persons in their ability to know you. Father, what are you going to do? Look at the reason. Look at the answer. Do you see the colon?
Yes.
For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. This is the cause, the basis, the reason why. Man, listen. Until you come to the place where you know and you know and you know that there is nothing, no offense, nothing you have done that stands between you and God. Until you come to know that not only were your sins forgiven, but the blood of Jesus upon the mercy seat continually cleanses, washes, and prevents Father from ever able to record anything that is about you enough, even tomorrow, until you come to that knowledge, you can never know God. Why? Why? Because a consciousness, remember the son when he came back?
Mm-hmm.
Remember the prodigal son when he came back?
Yes.
A consciousness of oh, something's wrong with me. Oh, I don't know what to do to me. Oh, I don't know. Father, please, just one more time. Just forgive me. Forgive me. I'll give $50. I'll give $1,000 so that you can bless me. Father, listen to me. A consciousness of guilt will never permit you, will never allow you to know this God. That is why the blood is upon the mercy seat. That's why the blood keeps purging your conscience. Otherwise, you will do what you do because you want God to have mercy on you. But when now you know that you've already been forgiven, mercy abounds to you, the grace of God abounds to you, now you are free to live as a son. You are free to live as a son. Let me ask something. Those of you who have children, which one, notice how easy it is for the child to enter into your chamber of chambers. Do you think a person, any person at all, any person who is not your child will ever have the confidence to come that close? Please tell me.
No way.
Is it possible for anybody, even your friend, dares not come that close?
Mm-hmm.
But your son, no matter what he has done, no matter where he has been, no matter what he has been engaged in, mommy, daddy, I'm coming. Come. No discussion. That is why you can smack your child. You can whip your child 1 minute. The next minute, he's making a demand. It's as if he never did anything wrong. There's no guilt. There's no consciousness. So there is no act of religion. There is no religion because see, the book says, following any other religion, following any, is not the way to the presence, to the Father. It's not it. Being a good person and doing good works is not the way. It's not it. Why? Because good works follows after. It's not the cause. It's not the root for the blessing. It is the result, the fruit. There is none righteous. The Son is the one who is righteous. And by God putting you in the Son, you are now the righteousness of God. You are now the righteousness of God. There is one scripture I said heaven. Very good. I mentioned heaven. Listen to me. How many of you know that when you go to a consulate to go and apply for a visa, How many of you know that as you are going to the consulate, you are, as it were, hoping that you'll be given a visa? How many of you know that? How many of you know that that's the way? You just hope. You're just hoping that the person will have mercy on you and will overlook all the things that may not add up and will say, hey, Raymond, I remember my first time I went to London. I put in my application. I was waiting. They called my roommate, Graham. I mean, the name itself is nice. His last name is Graham. You know, it's fancy. They called him after a few minutes, visa granted. Raymond Nkrumah. When they called me in my heart, I wasn't sure. They said, you are a typical Ghanaian. There's no foreign blood inside you. Your name says it all. When I went, my heart was beating. My first time. Then he gave me a visa. Hey, I was so elated. Because my first time, my first try, and they gave it to me. As I came out, I went straight and organized to buy a ticket. Why? Confidence has come. Why? I know that I must be granted entrance to the place. True or false? Is that true? Is that right?
True.
Now, the same way. Now, listen, as you are going, you are hoping. But when you are granted the visa, you know that now you have access. So you go and buy tickets, you make plans, you do this. The same way, God himself qualified us by putting us in his son. It is very important. The Bible says that we died with him. We were buried together with him. And we were raised up together with him. And then it says, and made, listen to me, made to sit together with him. Where?
In heavenly places.
Where?
In heavenly places.
In heavenly places. So now, listen to me. It is very important that we begin to live heaven here before we get there. If you are doubting and trying to make it to heaven, I'm afraid your foundation is so shaky, you will be disappointed. Do you guys get what I'm saying?
Yes.
Do you guys get what I'm saying?
Yes.
You and I must have the confidence that because of what Jesus has done, we have access. Because we didn't do it. It is Father who did it. And he put us into the Son. And now, not only did we die with him, but we are born again together with him. And he has made us. He didn't even ask us. Eric, God did not ask you whether you want to sit in heaven or not. He made you sit together with him in heavenly places. So where are you? Where are you? You are seated together with him in heavenly places. So why do you doubt? I do things to get to heaven. If you were already, when you were together, did you still doubt you may not be there? Do you ever expect that they will not allow you entrance? Please, it's very important, because if you don't live here, when now we know it's Christ's life in us, when now we are restrained by the knowledge of whose life we are, by the knowledge of whose we are, who we belong to, if we don't live by that standard, our foundation is so not sure, and the outcome will not be good. What does that mean? Let's begin to learn, practice the act and the art, knowing that it is Christ in us. Christ in us here. And as we are restrained by that knowledge, we will have that consciousness, that assurance, that knowledge, that knowing that, no matter what happens, I will just move on to the next phase of my life. Does that make sense? That assurance is very important. And if you don't have it now, please, the winds will blow you away. The winds will blow you away. You must have the assurance and be restrained by that knowledge. So what you do and what you say and how you think must now be regulated by the knowledge of his life now in you and where you now sit, seated together with him in heavenly places. Wonderful, wonderful. Are you getting the whole picture?
Yes, powerful, Rev. That's very powerful.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. So please, let's reach out for our communion. And as you do this, I need you to remember.